It's time to recap it, and who better to do it than Michael New Magic? Two bros slash pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on every one of their shows. Real fans look forward to these guys and their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. What they say makes sense, so ladies and gents, sit back and relax as Blinkers Off presents The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is The Magic Mike Show, Mr. Summich.
Huzzah!
Episode 320. How you doing today, sir? We got a fun show today.
I'm doing well. Just got the late pick five home from Keeneland. Paid about $500. Really frustrated myself. We would have hit the early pick five too, except I changed my mind this morning, which is like probably the worst thing that can happen in the horse racing world, because you just second guess yourself so bad. Note to self, don't leave gunrunners off. Just don't do it. If they're 2 year old, if they're a gunrunner and they haven't started yet, use them, because they went 27-1 and you had them and then you take them off your ticket and you feel like an idiot.
Oh no, you didn't have that one. I saw that one paid, and how the hell did any gunrunner debuting it too? Any gunrunner at two, period, paid that much money in a non-stakes like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 10-1 morning line, it floated way up. And there were some good horses in the race. And it would have taken five deep to get there. But I was there this morning, and I got off it once the changes came out. And I put in the 10 horse, was an 8-1 morning line. Ended up going up to 9-5 favorite. I never would have used that damn horse at 9-5. But live and learn, man. Use that gunrunner.
There is a 9-5 favorite in one of these races that you're not using, so I'm excited to talk about that. But we put it to a vote because we got a little bit of a lighter weekend. We've wanted to do something fun. We're like, we could do Astronic 5, the Golden Hour. We put it to a vote. The people said they wanted to do Cross Country Pick 5. It was 50% with this one, so everybody wants the Saturday races, so that's what we're going to do. We're covering Keeneland and Belmont, three graded stakes races, so that's going to make it a lot of fun, including a 7-furlong dirt sprint that Mike and I always have a really good chance to get a good price home in those races. So we'll see where we go with that one. But before we get into it, Mike, what is the best thing that you saw this week?
You know, I'm going to go with our – like, I'm excited about doing more YouTube content. So I'm pumped up that we're switching over to do more YouTube content racing dudes. We talked about it. We're going to start doing race previews over on the YouTube channel. And then we're obviously doing this show over on YouTube only, not being on Twitter right now. And then, you know, I'm also pretty excited about the NHL season. So I'm glad that you're wearing your Red Wings jersey. You know why? Because the Blues are 3-0. So let's talk about the St. Louis Blues being 3-0, beating the Las Vegas Golden Knights last night. And the reason this is the best thing I saw is very simple. We're a fun team to watch now. We were a boring-ass team for a long time, playing defensive-style hockey, not worrying about it. There were 70 shots in last night's game against Las Vegas Golden Knights. There was 30 shots in the first period. Just up-and-down action. There could have been 10 goals. Ended up being 3-1 Blues. But it was just so much fun to watch the Blues fly up and down the ice.
Jason's booing. I forget who Jason is. Jason a Blackhawks fan? I was trying to remember who Jason's a fan of. He's booing you, though. I'm going to join you. This is the reason I'm wearing it. It's the best thing that I saw is that the Red Wings hockey. The Red Wings returned to start the season. They hosted Tampa. They were up 4-1, 6-3. They lost 7-6. Since then, Mike, they are 2-0. So we lost in overtime. So we are the undefeated through three games, Detroit Red Wings. So no L's on our record yet. We're hosting the 0-2 or 0-1-1 Calgary Flames tonight. So because it's in Detroit, that means Tyler Bertuzzi is allowed to play since he's unvaccinated. One of, I think there's four guys left in the NHL, last I heard. Five if we count Evander Kane. I don't know if we're counting him in that.
I don't think he's in the NHL right now. So yeah, and Bertuzzi put up like a four banger the first night too, didn't he?
Bertuzzi 7 points in, including 4 goals the first game, but 7 points through three games to start the year. So yeah, pretty good start for the old. He plays like a what's it called? Junkyard dog. Plays like a junkyard dog. So he's got like a tooth missing, and then he also had a gap between those two teeth. So it's like there's one and a half teeth missing. Oh, it's real weird when he smiles. He somehow has a mouth guard that fits that.
So there's a hockey player with a tooth missing? No way. Tell me more about this. Wild phenomenon there. Yeah, Jason, the Golden Knights are short. I think it's Pacioretty and Stone, or did Stone play? It's Pacioretty and somebody who's out for them. So it's tough to start the season. It was a really entertaining game, though. They're fun. Golden Knights are a fun team to watch. They fly up and down the ice, too.
They are a fun team. I still don't like their jerseys. I don't know if I'm ever going to come around on those jerseys. There's just something about them that it doesn't mix well for me. But I am excited to see the St. Louis Blues are 3-0. The Detroit Red Wings haven't lost either. So Detroit will probably be the first of the two teams to get a loss. But we're going to keep riding it out. I also have two of your defenders on my fantasy. I'm playing fantasy hockey this year. So I've got Krug and Falk. And nice. Falk went nuts the other night. Was it against Philly when he had like 4 points or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if the Blues keep scoring, they were the number one offense in the NHL going into last night. If they keep scoring at that rate, having both of those guys will definitely help out. And I love how you're a jersey snob, too. I mean, obviously, you're a Red Wings fan, so you're a jersey snob. That's not a surprise. Do you like the Kraken jersey or no?
Oh, my gosh, I love the Kraken jersey.
Okay, good. Yeah. I was going to say, you might need to find a new co-host if you start smashing the Kraken jersey, too.
It's just it's the color scheme for the Golden Knights. There's something about the way that they put it all together that isn't blending for me. Those colors work. They just, the way they're presented, maybe it's the red, like the little tinge of red that they have in it that throws me off. I don't know. Listen, you can't get much more classic than this, or the powder blue for the St. Louis Blues. So, but we're done with hockey talk, Mike. We got Keeneland. We got Belmont. We got five races to get into. You and I both actually went pretty cheap here for being a 50-cent ticket. So I'm real curious to see what we end up doing, but let's get into it, buddy, if I can get my computer to respond. My computer doesn't want to respond. Do you want to hit this for me?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get it started. Let's see here. Come on. There we go.
Where's the video? Wait for it. And rise up.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm frozen. I'm completely locked out on the other computer. I have no idea what's happening. I can hear you. I can't see you. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I'll just jump into it, man. You got it.
All right, sure. Well, I've got the notes here. First race kicking off the Cross Country Pick 5 Saturday, October 23rd, between Keeneland and Belmont Park. We're going to Belmont Park first. Race 8 on Saturday's card at Belmont. This is the Grade 3 $200,000 Noble Damsel Stakes. Field of 9 fillies and mares, 4 and up, plus 1 main track only entry going a mile on the outer turf course at Belmont. Remember, that is a pretty much a one-turn mile there. Favoritism is on number 10, Tamahir. 9-5, that's a 9-5 favorite. I said Mike's going to try and beat. You also have High Opinion at 3-1. Love and Thunder, the other Chad Brown horse, number 6, is 5-1. And Mike, we're using 5 horses here. We're completely opposite on these 5 horses. Start us off.
Yeah, so this is one of those races where I looked at the pace specifically, and I kind of decided I'm not too into any horse that's on the lead. I'm going to use one horse that showed some speed, but this was one of those rare instances where you have just a plethora of pace in a turf race, specifically in New York. I mean, we've got multiple horses here that have over 100 early time form rating. And when you go through that and you look at the horse on the outside, Tamahir, who's going to be your favorite, who's currently your morning line favorite, I mean, I got a lot of questions. I mean, this horse won on the lead last time out, popped a 105 buyer, which came out of absolutely nowhere, to be honest. The horse doesn't really like winning. That was its first win in 2021. And had lost to High Opinion, who is one of the horses I'm going to use in here, who's going to be a bigger price. Basically, I don't like the post at a mile. I don't like the fact there's more speed. And I don't trust that Monmouth race. And when you combine those three, this to me is one of those just classic horses that I think that you can fade. So I'm going to try and do that. For my top pick in here, I'm actually going to go to the horse that beat him a couple back. I'm going to go to High Opinion here, the 3-horse out of the Dutch Row barn. You get Saez up. This horse likes to come from off the pace. I like the progression we've seen in the last three. The horse took a step forward each time. And you go back to that race at a mile at Saratoga's turf. The horse looked really, really good in that spot. Was able to get the job done against Love and Thunder. I like Lemon Drop Kid horses. I like four-year-olds that are improving. I like the 3-1 price over there. The outside horse is going to be your 9-5 favorite, who I think is going to go off shorter than that. I'm going to use High Opinion. He's going to be close from the clouds on top.
I figured I hadn't had to decide, do I want to use the Chad Brown horses or do I want to go the other direction? And that's where we split, right? I went with the two Chad Brown horses. You went the other direction, and the other three that you're using are the three that I had looked at if I was going to split. So really, if you like the Chad Brown horses, go with Magic. If you don't like the Chad Brown horses, go with Mike. I hear your concerns on the number 10, Tamahir. I think that the horse is going to be way over bet. You're seeing that 105 buyer from that win last out, but that came on yielding turf. The horse's two best buyers in its career are on yielding turf. Firm turf, best figure is a 93, which is still better than pretty much everybody in this field can do. But that also goes to show you that there is vulnerability here. So we're not expecting to get any rain in New York that day. So I hear your concerns on that. The 6-11 Thunder actually was my top pick here. It's a big class test, but I love that Chad Brown has been bringing her along. She was with John Gosden before, with Andre Faber before. Those are two of the best trainers in Europe. So this horse has been handled by very talented hands here. Since she's come here, she's hit the exacta all five starts in America. Jose Ortiz has been aboard all five times. What are you laughing about?
That's a very positive way to say she's finished second four times in five starts.
She's consistent. Okay, but she missed.
She's consistently running second, which doesn't help in a pick five.
Three of those seconds she missed by a nose, a half length, and a half length. So she was extremely close to getting there. And two of those times that she missed by that close, she had some traffic issues. So if she can get a clean trip here, there is a lot of pace. So I expect her to be able to pass horses without any problem. It's a matter of Jose Ortiz getting her a clean trip. So it's all based on that. But I think if she gets a clean trip, I think she's going to be very tough to hold off. And if Tama here can just run back to possibly, you know, the Ballston Spa two back where, you know, she lost to High Opinion very late. But that was going two turns at Saratoga. Now we're going one turn at Belmont. I think that's going to work in her favor just a tiny bit.
See, I don't think that'll work in her favor. I don't like that mile trip with starting on the outside post there. And Love and Thunder to me is just – five efforts at that non-winners of one level. And yes, was close a lot of times, but that doesn't necessarily isn't a good thing. That means like, you know, I've been doing some laundry today. I've seen some hangers. I'm afraid I'm looking at another one here with Love and Thunder. We'll just put it that way. So a little concerned there that it took, like she had to get down to 6-5. I'm sorry. She had to get down to 4-5 to be able to actually break through that at level. She was 65 cents on the dollar in that race at Belmont. Yeah. Where she was able to finally win. So she found the right group and she'd been favored in all five of those races. So, I mean, just burning up money and running second, unless you're banging her in the second spot in the exacta, then it's not burning up money. But other than that, I mean, it was not that great. So I think I wouldn't be shocked if Love and Thunder and Tammy here go off as the two favorites. And I can, I can poke holes in both of these horses. And so to me, it's just like, when I look through the sequence, I didn't absolutely love any race, which is tough for me. I usually try and find a single and I want to spread like crazy in other legs. This one is much more of like, hey, Mike's going to throw out some favorites and play a couple horses and hope we can get through each leg. And that's kind of how I approach this race as well. Of the speed horses, to me, the most interesting was the 5 Shifty She. This horse has improved every single start. Just faced better the last couple. Princess Grace won, I think it was like 4 or 5 in a row when she was able to win the ladies' turf, the grade 3 at Kentucky Downs. And Kentucky Downs, by the way, we mentioned this last year, we mentioned this year, has been a live meet. Lots of winners coming from Kentucky Downs, especially at Keeneland, but all over the place, really. And the race 2 back at Saratoga is good. The races at Gulfstream Park are good. I mean, the 2 back when she loses to Regal Glory and Headley Woods, both very good horses. So, if I'm going to take any horse on the lead, I want the 5-horse Shifty She. So I use the 5 here, use the 3. And then the 1 was the interesting one, Stepping Forward. This is third off the layoff for a 4-year-old that's improved its last 5 starts. All of them on the turf, can handle one turn at Belmont, can handle this distance at Belmont, and has tactical speed but doesn't need the lead. I think the 1 horse is the horse that absolutely trips out here. It's able to sit on the inside, save all the ground, wheel out in the lane, gets first run on the leaders. And I think there's going to be like 3 or 4 of them that are up there. And then it's whether or not we can catch the 1 coming home. So I'm going to go 1-3-5 here, and hopefully we can kick this off a little bit of a price.
I almost made the 1 onto my ticket here for all the reasons you mentioned. The horse seems to be improving, which is something we see a lot with Shug, taking his time. And the 6 horse, if the 6 horse was within Shug's barn, you might be more inclined to bet, because that is Shug's style, which is take your time, be patient, let them find their way in the allowance ranks, and then step them up. Usually when it's Chad Brown and you see it takes them 5 times to get through that first level allowance, it's a little concerning. And that was something that came through my mind. I do like In a Hurry here. If there are any scratches with one of the Chad Brown horses, I'm going to throw the 1 in. And I think you're getting tremendous value there at 8-1, a horse that hasn't been that low since she, you know, wasn't on this really great streak to start halfway through 2021. So you're getting some good value here on 2 Chad Brown horses that I'm with Mike, I think, are going to get bet pretty heavily. Speaking of horses, I think are going to get bet pretty heavily. Let's move to the second leg of the cross-country pick 5 Saturday. We're going to go to Keeneland for the first time. Let me pull it up here on the screen. Race 8 on their card. If I can get it, there we go. We've got a conditional allowance field. There's a full field of 12 males, four and up in here. They're going to be going a mile and a 16th on the turf course, two turns at Keeneland. And I'm singling the favorite. That's the four big agenda at 5-2. I think this is a horse that's going to get bet very heavily. I think deservedly so. This is a Mike Maker trainee with Tyler Gaffleone, second off the layoff, exiting a Kentucky Downs race that he won by more daylight than I think we've seen in California today. Should sit a close stocking trip. He's got three wins in a second and five starts since joining Maker, since being on the turf, that is. So I think all systems are go, but singling a 12-horse field, am I nuts, Mike?
Yeah, you are. You know why? Nine of the 12 horses have a time form figure, early pace figure of over 100. Nine of the 12. I mean, this is sometimes you see two or three in these distance turf races. Nine of the 12 have an early time form rating of over.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And it's a mile and 16th at Keeneland, which we've always talked about as a train wreck into that first turn because all the speed wants to go. And that when you have the outside horses, by the way, the 9 through 12 are four of those nine horses that have over 100 time form ratings. It's going to be crazy going into that first turn. Everyone is going to be absolutely flying early. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this pace shakes out. And my biggest problem with Big Agenda likes to be forwardly placed. This may not be the best time ever to want to be forwardly placed. I am going to use Big Agenda because I do like the fact that we had seven furlongs at Kentucky Downs. I think that definitely helped the horse take a step forward and was kind of a prep race to go into this race for the Maker Barn. So I like the mile and 16th for Big Agenda. I'm a little concerned that the horse is going to be want to be too forwardly placed and have to deal with a lot here. My top pick was the six horse, English B. I'm kind of a sucker for this horse, so let's just get that out of the way right now. Like I have picked this horse before, not going to lie. But this race sets up so well for English B. English B, some of his best races have come from off the pace, and I think that's exactly where we're going to get set up here. This horse does like Keeneland, so I'm not too worried about the racetrack. Got a 97 buyer in the Maker's Mark Grade 1 mile. Finishes sixth, but was a length back. And in between him and that winner, War of Will, was also Parlor, Raging Bull, some really good milers. I think we're going to see a pretty big effort here for English B with James Graham up out of the Graham Motion Barn, second off a layoff, second in the five-year-old season. And the back buyers really beat the rest of this field. Like if we can run back to those high 90s, everyone's in trouble and the six horses is going to trip out and it's going to be 12-1. So I'm gonna go ahead and hope that English B can make up some of the losses.
Because
I've had bet this horse before and it doesn't always win. So I'm gonna go with English B on top here and hopefully we can get the job done. You singled up, so I'm just gonna keep rolling. I also used the seven horse, Argentello. Again, this is one of those where, like, look, that last race way over its head. The Grade One Keeneland Turf Mile ended up finishing ninth, five lengths back. You look at the race before, Grade Three at Kentucky Downs against Pixelate, Some Like It Hot Brown, Monarchs Glen, a very tough race. The waters are not nearly as deep here. You look at that race three back at Keeneland, runs a 91 buyer going this distance. Midnight Tea Time, Bye Bye Melvin, both very good horses that it ran behind. Like this is one of those horses where if you have a bunch of pace up front, which I think we're going to, man, the seven horse could just set up to be able to get a perfect trip again. I think this race collapses. That's why I didn't single the four. If the race does collapse, I want the six and seven to be able to pick up the pieces.
The four, and I hear you on the speed thing. I think what helps the four a little bit is that you have so many 100 plus time form early pace ratings way outside, and they're going to have to gun. I think that Tyler can get Big Agenda, the four horse, out cleanly enough and into a good position in the first turn. He doesn't have to lead with the horse. He actually showed at Kentucky Downs going seven. He can sit quite a few lengths off and still be able to get the job done, albeit probably against lesser company than what he sees here. The two horses that I had considered, Mike, are the six and the seven. my concern with the six, and I really want to try and put this horse on, but my concern with the six is that he just doesn't really look the same at age five as he did last year at age four. And he's had a little bit of a stilted season, right? He doesn't come back until May. He runs twice and he misses some time. And then he comes back in August and he gets the win there, taking a class drop. So maybe that helped him out. He is bred top and bottom to love this trip here. It's Grand Motion, so you know he's going to have this horse prepared. Was there anybody on the outside, possibly maybe the 11 Busy Channel, another English channel, that you looked at that you wanted to play, but the post is telling you is a no-go right now?
to me, the 10, 11, and 12 all would be interesting horses if they weren't hung out there with all the speed in the race. But they all want to be forwardly placed. One of them is going to be five wide in the first turn. I don't know which one it is. And if the 12 doesn't want to be five wide, the 12 is going to be gunning early. And it's the same with the 11. And so, look, with Revelli and Loveberry on the 11, you know the horse is going to go. It's the question of how wide that horse ends up being. I actually looked at the 5, Mr. Dumas, as the other horse that I considered in this spot. This is a horse that actually that does pretty well at Keeneland, has its high buyer at Keeneland, running the 100 buyer in an optional allowance, conditional allowance, 3 back. This is second off the layoff, 5-year-old season, just draw a line through the Yak Ak. It was a dirt race. The horse clearly wants turf. So I could make a case for the 5 next, and that would be kind of the other horse that's forwardly placed but doesn't necessarily need the lead. But to me, I mean, I don't want any of that outside speed.
Let's move on to the third leg of the cross-country pick 5 Saturday at between Belmont Park and Keeneland. We're going to look at race 9 on Belmont Park's card. This is the grade 2 $400,000 Pilprint Stakes, field of 11 3-year-old males going a mile and an eighth on the inner turf course, so they are definitely going to be routing here. Your favorite is the number 9 Public Sector at 5-2 for Chad Brown. Number 11 Soldier Rising, Christophe Clement, getting what I think is a jockey upgrade for that horse to Joel Rosario. He is 3-1 on the line. Chad Brown has two others in here. They're both sitting at 8-1 and 10-1. Lots of options. Where are you going on top?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get too creative in this spot. I kind of wanted to find a way to make it a little more interesting, but look, I'm just going to end up with Soldiers Rising here. I'm going to go to the outside, and the horse that I think is probably the best, the effort 2 back, should have been good enough to get it done. The effort last time out against Yibir, was probably good enough to get it done. This time, Soldiers Rising is facing a much weaker field in my mind. I think that you're going to get a good effort out of the 11. I think this is the time that the Clement Bart will be able to get this horse home. Not going to single up because I do like a couple others in here. And let's be honest, I mean, he only beat the 2 slicked back by a slicked back neck last time. And I don't want to use a horse at 3-1 and not use a horse that's 8-1 who missed by a neck. Turf racing is all about trips. If the 2 trips out a little bit better than the 11, the price makes a big difference to me. So I'm going to go 2-11. I'm going to use one other in here. Where did you end up on top?
I used the 11. Wasn't my top pick, but I think this Soldier Rising, first of all, I say he gets a jockey upgrade. This horse, I think his better running style is what we saw in the Saratoga Derby, which is let the speed horses go, take back, and then try and make one big run. The Jockey Club Derby, you didn't really have any pace in that race, right? You look at the 49-2, 114-2, very slow race for going a mile and a half, and it's New York, so it's probably always going to be that slow. But this horse was a lot closer to the front, and that really, we've seen that happen where horses that when they run that close to the front early, they don't have that same turn of foot, right? I think that this horse is going to have enough pace in here to chase. Joel Rosario is going to take him back. There is no better closing rider than Joel Rosario. And you made fun of me for this earlier. This horse has never missed the exact in 6 starts. He's got 4 seconds and 2 wins. Both of those wins, very good. Yibir, however you want to say it, who won the Jockey Club Derby, is pointing to the Breeders' Cup turf. So they thought that horse was good enough to go there. So if you're going to like Soldier Rising, or if you think that horse was pretty good and could go to the Breeders' Cup turf, you got to like Soldier. I didn't use Slicked Back. I went back and forth about this one. I don't like this horse's ability. I think this is another horse that needs to take back a little bit farther. I don't think he's nearly as strong. And the horses that he's faced and that he's when he was using that running style, not nearly as strong as what he faces here, what he saw in the Jockey Club Derby. Again, a very odd race with the pace set up there. I think Slicked Back, I'm scratching that off. I think he's not that good. I'm waiting for him to regress in this spot. But he is a tough one. So I did use the other Chad Brown horses in here. Public Sector is my top pick. I think he's got a class advantage over most of his rivals in here. Needs a buyer step forward. He's never gone a mile and an eighth, so this will be his first time trying that. But he has routed several times successfully, including winning the Hall of Fame, the Saranac, in his last 2 starts. Sifting Sands has won his last 2 starts for Chad Brown. Manny Franco was aboard for both of those, gets back aboard. This is a step up in class form, and yet again, a horse that hasn't gone a mile and an eighth yet, but the breeding for both of these horses says that they should be able to. Sifting Sands especially, being by Dubawi out of a Montjoux mare, this horse should go a mile and a half with no issue, maybe just hasn't been given the chance to do it. I threw the 4 in because I wanted another Chad Brown on there, but that is about the whole reason I have the 4 there. So the Chad Brown horses, they didn't make your ticket. Why not?
Well, look, I mean... Well, from Shifting Sands' perspective, I don't love the fact that we were in a restricted stakes last time, and that's how we were able to get the stakes win, and we're stepping up in class here. I think the waters are much deeper. I realize that Shifting Sands has been able to win the last 2, and the buyers have progressed nicely, so you could argue that there could be another step forward here, but it's going to take a pretty big step forward for Shifting Sands and lost to Original Three back. You look at Public Sector, lost to Original Three back. You know, it's like, if I'm not using this horse and he's been able to beat these other horses, it's tough for me to use him. The nine, I think, is a little interesting. You mentioned Kingsman. Horse should really like, and Dubawi, the eight. They both should improve. You would hope to improve with a mile and a half. But I'm kind of concerned that we haven't seen them go a mile and a half yet, and that there isn't that interest where we have seen the 11 and we have seen the two both get that distance and run well at that distance. The pace is going to be even slower. I think that's another advantage for the two horse here. I'm not sure that either of these horses are going to be able to kick and close. And yeah, it's crazy to me that I'm leaving five Chad Brown horses off my tickets here in the first two at Belmont on the turf. Usually not a good strategy, but I think all of these horses are going to be over bet. And I like other horses in this spot who have already proven it to me. Whereas with all these Chad Brown horses, every single one needs to run the best race of their life to be able to win these races. I cannot point to a single race of any of these three Chad Brown horses that beats either of the 11's last two races.
That's a great point.
That's a concern, right? Like that's a concern to me. Now they're three-year-olds and they're going a mile and a half on the turf for the first time. So you could logically say they could improve. But the fact that of the three horses, not one race beats that 11. That scares me. So that's why I ended up not using any of them. I am going to use a third horse in here. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to go to the five War Bomber. War Bomber, last two, like this is a weird horse because it got claimed for 25,000 two back out of the Mark Cassie barn. But notice who owned it. Gary Barber and ERJ Racing. Okay, they like to spend money on horses. This is a cool, more bred horse. This is Warfront out of an Indian Ridge mare. This horse is bred to run really well on the turf. The horse has won three of its five starts on the turf. Look, Norm McKnight, not a dumb guy, not a dumb trainer, and he's good off the claim. This horse took a big-time step forward first off the claim, jumping from a 79 to an 89 buyer, winning a stakes race, a listed stakes race at 20-1, first time in the Norm McKnight barn. Now we're going to throw him into the wolves here in New York, stretch him out to a mile and an eighth. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if this five runs huge. It's another one that needs to take a step forward, but its numbers are comparable with all the Chad Brown horses, and we're getting 12-1.
This horse is coming from Woodbine.
See, I've heard so much hate on the Racing
Channel. You literally say that all the time. Like, those horses come from Woodbine. It's a different class of horse down here. That's literally something you say.
I say that about Saratoga. I do not say that about Belmont, because the Belmont turf course and the Woodbine turf course are actually a lot more similar than the Saratoga turf course and the Woodbine turf course. These big turns are not as big of a negative to me with the Woodbine horses here.
I will give you one thing. Norm McKnight, if you Google him and the offenses that he has, you can figure out why he is a high percentage trainer at Woodbine. We'll move on to Keeneland's ninth race on Saturday. This is the fourth leg of the cross country pick five. This race is going to be, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one pulled up here. Race 9, there it is, the Grade 2, $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes. The 7-furlong dirt sprint that Mike and I love to talk about. Field of 13 three-year-old fillies, Mike, in here. Favoritism, you got Bill Mott with the number 13 obligatory at 3-1. The number 8 Carmel Swirl at 7-2. I say chuck them both. I like the number 3 Super Sensational on top at 4-1, the third choice on the morning line here. Where are you going in this race?
Good pick. I'm going to go with the 3-horse Super Sensational on top, too. This is one of those. I mean, lost last time out to Sella, who's in this race as well. But to me, that race was, well, first off, it was Super Sensational's worst race. She was brushed a couple times down the lane. She made the lead, gave it up. It was at 6 furlongs, not 7. I think that makes a big difference here. She likes that 7-furlong distance. And this is, like, there's quite a bit of speed here in this race. And Super Sensational is going to be able to sit just off the pace, get the perfect trip, tilt out 3 wide down the lane and get the job done. I think that this horse is going to be pretty loaded for this race. I actually almost considered singling the 3-horse Super Sensational. If I had singled someone, it would have been the 3 in this sequence.
Wow. I considered it. For a little bit, I looked at that. I was like, man, I really like the 3 in here a lot. You nailed every possible reason. This has felt like a horse for a long time, that this is probably what she's best at least right now, with 7 furlongs, because it's tricky. The 6-furlong horses that are really fast early, they can't handle that 7-furlong distance. So you have a horse that probably, when she turns 4 next year, hopefully stays in training, Mike, she'll probably turn into a 2-turn horse because she's by curling, not having any Charlie Mare. But for right now, 7 furlongs, keep it rolling with her. You and I also agreed the second horse that you used, is the 11 Miss Speedy, the other Mark Cassie horse in here. It's coming from Woodbine. Trash. Who brings horses from Woodbine to greatest six races in America? Like I did that. Brian Hernandez Jr. is going to ride this horse for the first time. This horse has never tried dirt, but Mike, you might have looked this up because you like this horse. The siblings, 23% winners on dirt. This family really likes dirt. So we'll see what happens here. Mark Cassie's not an idiot. He doesn't use the Norm McKnight training method, but I think that this is going to be a very sneaky horse. I think we're going to get some better than 6-1 value on her.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Super Speedy real quick. Really, like, usually seen as a synthetic sire, right? You've seen the horse a lot up in Woodbine from the synthetic perspective. Guess what Super Speedy's progeny, what percentage they're winning in dirt sprints?
I didn't actually look that up. What is it?
32%.
Holy shit.
32%. That is wild. I challenge anyone to find another horse with, by the way, an 87 race sample size where their kids are winning 32%. It's not like this is, it's not 12 races or 15 races or whatever. 87 is a pretty significant amount. So when Super Speedy does have horses, have his sons or daughters run on dirt, doing dirt sprints, 28 for 87. Mark Cassie has the horse I like the most in this spot, Super Sensational. I don't see how I don't use the 11 as well. And this is actually the reason I didn't single up the three horses, because the 11's in this spot. And it's really funny that it's Super Sensational. I'm like, is that Super Speedy horse too? No, it's Crowan. The other thing I like about the 11 Super Speedy is I like these horses that are shortening up, that showed speed going a mile and a 16th and then are shorting up to 7 furlongs. You saw this horse go a mile and a 16th twice, shortens up to 7 furlongs, gets the job done, then comes down here. The horse who ran second last time out came back to win. I don't see why the 11's in this race if it's not ready to go. And so I'm going to use both of the Cassies here.
Well, yeah, the Woodbine's still racing, so it's like the Cassie had to board up and take everybody and move them to Gulfstream or something. Interesting to note, too, this is an Ontario bred. The only loss in 4 starts is the only time that she faced Ontario bred restricted field. Can't figure that one out. The third horse that I used in here is who Aaron has brought up in the chat. That's the 9, Zain Al Arab. This is a $1 million purchase at one point by Shadwell Stable. It's a Chad Brown trainee. Makes 1 start as a 2-year-old, wins at Belmont. Doesn't show up again until April of this year. Runs a very nice second behind Australasia. If you remember at that point in the year, Australasia was winning every possible dirt sprint. We don't see her again until Saratoga, but she goes to Saratoga, beats a first-level allowance company very easily as the favorite. So now we're showing up here. I don't like the gaps between all of the races, but when she shows up, Mike, she runs. So I'm going to take the chance here that, you know, this is a class test, but she was facing Australasia, who is a stakes horse. She's passed every other test well. She's going to need a big buyer bump here, but I'm a little surprised that I'm getting 6-1 on this horse.
Well, you're getting 6-1 morning line. We'll see what you get on the off.
That's true.
The 8 and the 9 with the other two horses I considered in this spot. I think the 9 does make a ton of sense. I would expect to step forward. Clearly has a ton of talent. You know, the auction hammer doesn't go down for $1 million very often when they're not good. And then you you mentioned, Australasia was very, like, really well informed when she was able to beat this horse. So there's no knock there. This is one where I'd watch the board. You know, if I end up getting 6-7-1, I might throw a win bet on this horse. I would probably use this horse if I was singling elsewhere, but because, like, I don't have any monster opinions in the whole sequence, and because I don't have any of those singles, and honestly, the 3 is one of my bigger opinions here, I ended up just going too deep in this spot, but I think it makes a ton of sense. Also, for the people that are watching on YouTube, when you click on it and it's not live, we don't see the comments in order all the time. So I know Robert, thanks for joining. Good to see you. But you're a little early on the comments, so it's tough unless you're live to be able to kind of follow along on those. Just giving everyone a heads up there.
We're both against we're not using, at least here, the Bill Mott horses. The 13, especially to me, I get the buyer are flashy and that she's won at 7 furlongs, but her last 2 starts after the Acorn, when she missed the search results, her last 2 starts, she hasn't really looked that solid. I know Clarier drew off pretty impressive in the Cotillion, and now she's cutting back here, but I don't know. Are we crazy for leaving off the 2 Motts when they're both short prices like this?
No. Yeah, and for a simple reason. Look, the 13 lost 2 back, like you said, to the 3 horse, Super Sensational. The race 4 back, which is what everyone really talks about, the 8 Bells, was an absolute pace collapse. I mean, but they went 21-4, 44 and change for 7 furlongs, and she came from the parking lot. Not even, like, it was just way out there. And so when you have big pace collapse like that and you get a monster figure off it, people look at that like, oh, the horse is really moving. We haven't seen that same kick. And I think the reason we haven't seen that same kick is we haven't seen horses stopping in front of her like that since then. So for me, the 13 is one of those where it's just like the one race that you kind of point back to. I really feel like she was over. Bet the Acorn, look, they ran a mile in 135 and two. You know, it wasn't that fast. And so I don't want to get involved with her 3-1. At 11-1 price when she won from the Clouds, yeah. You know, tell me more about that. But at 3-1 is the favorite in a pretty competitive race. I'd much rather take a price.
I remember that Eight Bells race well because we came out of that and we all went, what the hell happened? None of us saw her winning that day. She's 33-1. 16.5 to 33-2.
$33 winner.
Yeah. She was. She surprised us, and she really hasn't done the same since. Let's move on to the last leg of the cross country pick five. We're staying at Keeneland, race 10 on their card. This is the get out, go home with money in your bank or money in your pocket race. You got a field of 12 males, three and up. First level allowance going a mile, two turns on the turf course. Favoritism number 10, Pine Knoll at 3-1. Number four, Healing is 4-1. Second choice. I debated really hard about whether or not to use Pine Knoll because of that post. Ultimately made the ticket, but is not my top choice. Who was yours?
Yeah, I ended up leaving the 10 off, and I left the 4 off too. I went to the 5 horse, Gins Burned, as my Ginsburg. Top pick. Ginsburg?
Like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but you got Ginsburg.
Yeah, I know, but I like Gin more than I like. Well, she was pretty awesome too, but I like Gin, so I'm gonna stick
That's
with
fair.
Ginsburg.
We're an alcohol company first and foremost to Gin.
Yeah, and I've been on a Gin kick lately too. So, look, this horse took a big time step forward, going from maiden special weight competition to the Grade One Bruce D, and did not embarrass himself at all. Was a little rank early, just kind of. A weird trip when you watch the race back. The horse wanted to go more than the jockey would allow him, then got tongue out four wide on the second turn. To me, when a trainer like George Arnold takes a horse from a maiden special weight at Ellis and throws it into a Grade One race, it tells you what he thinks of that horse. We saw him win a Grade One here at Keeneland. I think this horse has a ton of upside. And I think that trip is a little worse than what it says necessarily in the running line. When you have a horse that's that keyed up, they use so much energy early that it's almost impossible to really grind it out and make up ground late. And that's kind of what you saw here. And Point Me By, Tango, 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 both pretty good turf horses. I think the 5 horse gets a lot more speed to chase, a little bit more speed, not a ton, but a little bit more speed to chase today. I think it's a better trip, gets a little more relaxed. This is a better fit, not necessarily Grade One down to allowance is a pretty big step down. So I'm going to use the 5 Ginsburned here as my top pick.
I used 4 horses and this is the last one in for me. I think this horse has really been improving and that's what the angle I couldn't ignore. This horse just waited until February to get going, but Rusty Arnold's been patient and yeah, the main special weight of beating older horses at Ellis, which has turned good horses over to Kentucky Downs who have then left and going on to continue to do well, go straight to Arlington, the Grade One. You saw Point Me By, Tango, Tango, Tango. Those horses were all on the improve here, and you're going to get that with Ginsburn. So I'm going to use the horse. I was concerned if this horse was maybe not good enough yet, but this is a little bit of a class drop. That was like the worst Grade One we've seen. second, it wasn't even the worst Grade One we saw that day, was it, actually?
No.
My top pick, I'm going to go with the 4 Healing. This is the only multiple winner on turf in the field. He's got 5 wins in his 13 race career. A lot of them against lesser, but I love the fact that this horse was with Mike Maker, gets a couple of wins on dirt, and then gets claimed away. Maker profits $10,000 on the claim, gets the horse back, does well in 2 very nice 30K claiming levels versus what he was facing before, and then is now an allowance horse and it's scratched out of a race today. I think this horse is on the improve, and it's Maker, it's Tyler Gaffleone. These are connections I cannot leave off a ticket. I would have hit the pick 4 from our Wednesday preview for Keeneland had I not left off the Maker and Gaffleone horse. It was a bad favorite, we thought, but it burned me, and I'm like, I never make that mistake. So I'm not going to make that mistake here. I've got to use this horse. But the class level is a big question mark, so I understand if that's what scares you away.
Yeah, that bad favorite was a bad favorite, by the way. I mean, I think the whole world stabled up the 7 horse from that race on Wednesday at Keeneland because it got checked in the backstretch and then went a million wide and just couldn't sustain the bid. Look, the problem with Healing, and yeah, 2-time winner on turf, 3rd time, you know, also has a 2nd on turf and 5 starts, all at the $30,000 claiming level. I mean, that to me is just like, okay, all right, but today we're running against much better here. I mean, this is $86,000 allowance horses at Keeneland. This isn't $30,000 claimers at Fairgrounds. So I have a little concern that the class level of the 4 horse, and I think the 4 is going to take a ton of money, and I'm just not that interested in playing the 4 at a short number. I went with a big price as my 2nd horse in here. I mentioned that there isn't a ton of speed. I think the 12 horse, Nice Ace, is going to be your leader and has a shot at taking this field wire to wire. It's a Noble Mission horse, a 3-year-old who's been improving. I realize we haven't touched turf. I actually think that's going to give us a little bit benefit from the price. I like the synthetic over to turf angle. This horse should be better on turf, being out of Noble Mission, which is Son of Galileo. So if we can get the lead, when I think we almost are forced to with Santana on board and that 12 post draw, I think the 12 could take this field wire to wire to 15-1.
Well, if you listen, if you get out of there fast and if Ricardo guns him, Ricardo can break that 0-43 record that he's got going to Keeneland. That's one of those, when we talked about this, maybe it was for the Wednesday show. It's so weird that Ricardo would be 0-43 when he had such a strong year at Saratoga. I guess Asmussen doesn't bring any turf horses to Keeneland, does he?
Well, you know what Asmussen is at Keeneland right now?
Probably pretty low, isn't he?
Last I saw, he was 1-30.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, you can't win them all. I didn't use the 12, but a big concern for me was the post. But if you think that there's a chance this horse goes gate to wire, if anybody goes gate to wire in the field, it's that one that does it. I want to clarify something, too. Aaron brought this up. He's our fact checker in the background today. Stat Boy says the Bruce D, 5 horses have come back from it, all dropped in class, 0 wins, 1 second, 1 third. I swear they did better than that, but I trust him. So, all right, well, listen, this is my 4th horse since, so I'm not too upset about it. The other two that I used, Mike, is actually one that Aaron brought up, the number 6, Santin. He calls it with the Biscuit, Adam Biscuza, wins on debut at Indiana Grand. Not the biggest track to win at on debut, but does it very impressively. We're going first-time versus winners. We're doing a big class jump up here to face older horses at Keeneland, but Brendan Walsh is 2 for his last 3 when he takes a 3-year-old maiden debut winner and runs them back next out. And one of those 2 times that he won, Adam Biscuza was aboard. So I think that it was at Ellis Park on turf. So I think that there is a little bit of an angle here to go with. The horse was very nice. It's a very solid 82 buyer. You don't see a lot of 82 buyers come out of Indiana Grand for maiden debut winners like that. So I'm going to use the 6. The last horse on for me is going to be the 10, Pine Knoll. It's not the last horse, but the last horse I'll talk about is the 10, Pine Knoll. Since Brad Cox took over at the beginning of this year, the horse has got to win 2 seconds and a 3rd, has been improving every single race. The post is very concerning here. The horse hasn't won in 3 starts at this distance, but has hit the board in all 3 times. The one time he was at Keeneland, finished 3rd on the turf. That was back when he was with a different trainer last year. So the post is concerning. The 3-1 price isn't great, but I think this horse just has a lot of talent. It might be one of the best horses in the field.
Yeah, I wouldn't knock you for using Pine Knoll. I can get this. I would use the 10 before I'd use the 4. And Pine Knoll 3-1, that's the main reason I'm fading this horse. Horse is going to be, well, I think we'll go off the favorite in this spot. The horse will be forwardly placed. Your second fastest horse in this race should sit a pretty good trip behind the 12. I don't feel like this is a field where I really want to be sitting on 3-1. And like I said, because of the way my ticket is structured, and if you watch the show, I rarely go 3 by 3 by 3 by 2 by 2, right?
This is normally, a me structure here.
Yeah, normally I'm like 6 by 1 by 2 by 4, right? Where I'm trying to really hammer home opinions. In these races, it's like, well, you know, let's spread in certain spots. Let's go short in certain spots. But I didn't really want to go crazy anywhere. And because I don't want to spread like crazy anywhere, I have this interesting ticket structure, which makes me leave off favorites. I mean, I'm not going to use favorites when I'm trying to go 2 or 3 deep in each leg, because I don't want to be sitting in a position where I'm defensively using 4 favorites. That's a really bad ticket long term. So and because of that, I left a couple of horses off here where if I was singling another leg, like if I singled that 3 last leg, I'd probably be using the 10 horse here. The 6 to me is just a horse I always fade. I mean, it's an Indiana Grand winner that got a big buyer for a slow time. They went 1:39. So it's a step up in class, first time against winners, didn't really beat much in that race. I just, for me, that 6 is a horse that gets bet too heavily that I just don't think gets the job done often enough.
I think it'll be curious to see, and I agree with you. A lot of times I don't like to use for maiden debut winners against experienced horses, especially when they're older like this. But I think I watched the replay and I was like, this horse is better than it looked better than Indiana Grand. But as I said, there is a big question about the class, and anytime a horse goes from a maiden facing maidens to facing winners, it's always a big jump. So it doesn't matter where it's at, a big test.
Yep. Yeah. Especially in this spot. I just, I also would like to defend the Bruce D a little bit. Aaron is correct that race has not been that great, but Point Me By went into a $600,000 stakes race at Kentucky Downs. Tango 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 went into $1 million stakes race at Belmont. By the way, ran a 75 buyer and 83 buyer, not terrible numbers coming out of that. And the only other horse out of that race to run on turf was the second to last place finisher who ended up running 2nd next time out. So I
that's
agree.
The horse that got 2nd.
I agree. Yeah, the 2nd to last place finisher. I agree with the statement that it has not been a strong race, but the races that they have gone to have actually been pretty good for the 2 horses that face in front.
Well, tune in on Monday. You'll find out who is correct, Mike, Aaron, Magic, or nobody. We'll go ahead and give out our tickets one last time for the Cross Country Pick 5 if you're watching live or on replay. Thanks so much for joining us. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Hit the subscribe button. As Mike said at the top of the show, we're doing a lot more YouTube-focused content here at RacingNews.com now, so make sure you subscribe. Hit the notification bell. You'll get alerted anytime something new pops up, whether it's live or previously recorded. But we're going to have a lot of stuff coming at you for the Breeders' Cup, so make sure you get subscribed to that YouTube channel. Mike, I'll go ahead and start off with my ticket. I'm going to go 6-10, singling the 4, then 4-8, 9-11, 3-9-11, 4-5, 6-10. That is a $48 ticket.
I'm going to play a 50-cent ticket. I'm going to go 1-3-5 with 4-6-7 with 2-5-11. With 3-11, with 5-12, that'll cost you $54 for 50 cents.
Mike, tell me what's going on with the Samobomb six pack and the Samobombs with the horse racing picks. What do you got going on this weekend?
Yeah, we're going Keeneland all weekend for the Samobombs. We'll add a grid, it looks like, tomorrow at Belmont. And then I'm looking at Saturday, do a grid and tickets from Santa Anita. And then Sunday, looking like a Keeneland-only day. So we'll have all of that up on the site. Make sure to check out the article we're throwing up every day. Nice to hit the late pick 5 today at Keeneland. 2 days in a row, although I still am wildly – I sent Aaron a picture about that freaking early one because I was really upset after that damn 7-horse got home at 27-1. Never leave Gunrunner 2-year-olds off again. That's lesson learned. The six pack's gonna go up tomorrow. I haven't dialed into all the games because, just to be completely honest, NFL weekend is freaking awful. I don't know if you looked at it, but there's like multiple, like 10, 12, 18 point game spreads. It's not a pretty week for NFL betting, so you might see a little more college heavy than ever. You're also seeing the injuries start to pile up. We've got a wonderful game between the originally 3-0 Denver Broncos and the original Super Bowl contender Cleveland Browns, which is now a mess of a football game. You've got Case Keenum starting 1-11 in his last 12 starts as a starter for the Browns, who are favored by 1.5 because the Broncos are so decimated by injury. And we got, I think, Drew Lock starting, last I saw. And by the way, Drew Lock, not good. That's coming from a Missouri guy. So it's just a mess of a game tonight as well.
You know who else agrees with you about the slate of NFL action? The dudes who bet sports. I tuned in this morning, talked the live show between Aaron and Papa Dude, and that was kind of the disclaimer and the feeling there. It was this NFL is going to be interesting. I'm like Aaron. Aaron said, when I see spreads that are 13.5, 17.5, I don't even play. That's why I don't do a lot of college football betting, or didn't in the past. I don't want to think, are they good enough to win by 17 touchdowns or 16? Like, that's too hard for me. But the guys who like to do the work, they're over at the racenews.com/sports section. Papa Dude is putting together lots of wonderful articles, previews. It's all free. All the content, it's all free right there, including Mike's six pack. I will say, if you're going to play Mike's six pack, one piece of advice. Mike doesn't always explicitly say if it's NFL or college. So what Mike does is all of the college games, and then all of the NFL games. And then the honorable mention section, it's all the college, and then it's all of the NFL. So if you see Buffalo -7.5 in the honorable mention section, try to figure out, is he talking about college or NFL? It turned out last weekend, it didn't matter which one of those you bet, they both lost. But that was an interesting little mistake that I made last weekend because I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Well, and one of the games was lined at 7.5, and one of them was lined at 5.5 when you bet it. And you bet
I got it 5.5, and I was like, my God, I'm getting 2 points. This is amazing. I'm going to write the check right now.
It was funny because then I talked to you about how I bet Tennessee, and you're like, wait, I thought you bet Buffalo. And so that was a fun little thing. I would like to say, before we go, tonight's game, one of the keys is Denver is missing their top four linebackers. Okay. Case Keenum, not great throwing the ball outside. You've got multiple tight ends from Cleveland who I think have sub 3 reception numbers for catches and sub 40 yards receiving. Njoku and don't remember the other guy's name. Anyway, look at the tight ends for the Cleveland Browns. They should be able to have pretty big games here.
I know Aaron's a big friend, big fan of the Cleveland Browns and tight ends. The horse racing side, Blinkers Off will be on about 40 minutes here, so 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. They're going to be doing some more Breeders' Cup-specific action, talking about prop bets. We had a lot of fun as a team today coming up with new prop bets for them to discuss. Mike and I came up with some really good ones, so I'm curious to see what they'll do. So that's on Blinkers Off. They'll be at 7 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific time later tonight. And then you've talked about the action for the NFL, the college football. Check out Dudes Who Bet Sports. There's a lot of great stuff over there. Also tonight, Mike, if you are interested in some more horse racing stuff, talk to us about what you're doing tonight because somebody in the chat was bringing it up.
Yeah, pretty pumped. Starting a new show with Equinedge. It's a joint Equinedge Racing Dudes project where we're doing a live show every Thursday night on their YouTube. Really excited that we got the live video streams for racetracks approved. So we're actually going to do live handicapping and live video streams for Remington and Charlestown tonight. I love the Remington circuit. I'm getting more up to speed on the Charlestown as we're doing some of this. But to me, Remington is one of those. You know, obviously, I'm a big Sam Houston fan. And these are the same type of horses to kind of churn through here, and same trainers, same jockeys. So excited to do that show. Excited to do some live handicapping. It's called Good Chalk, Bad Chalk. Doing it with Brady Klotz, who ran second in the Pegasus tournament this year. And it's a good juxtaposition of me because he's someone who hammers chalk. And I'm someone who fades chalk. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays on each other.
Brady's a good guy. Brady is someone who I feel like if you looked up in the horse racing dictionary, you looked up Press Your Opinion, I think you're going to see a picture. You're going to get two pictures. You're going to have Brady and you're going to have Geist Paddle. They're going to be staring at each other like a battle of who's got the stronger, who's got the bigger pair of balls, honestly. That's
It's amazing. Brady sends me some tickets. He's got like $100 cold pick threes. That's the stuff that he said. And, you know, it's chalk. But you know what happens? The $100 cold pick three pays $3,000. 3,500, right? And it's like, well, you got 35 to one and you had 6-5 over 8-5 over 2-1. It's still paying damn good, man.
Quick programming update. Aaron says it's now going to be 6:30 Central. So that must be what? I'm going to do the math. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Okay, so they must have pushed it a little bit. That's fine. But yeah, tune in for that. And if that's why you got to subscribe and hit the notification bell on the YouTube page, because then you don't have to worry about what time, how late is Magic Mike going to be? How late is Blinkers Off going to be? You don't got to worry about that. You'll just get alerted when everybody shows up. And then one last piece of advice from Nick Feldman. He says, the Bills are on bye this week. So if Mike bets Buffalo, it's going to be college. Nick, I appreciate you looking out for me, buddy. I love you, man. Thank you so much.
I'm also laying it with SMU tonight. So if anyone wants to play the Mustangs, I don't hate that pick if you're looking for some Thursday night action. It'll be a much better football game than the NFL game. Much more entertaining, at least.
Head over to racenews.com. We got everything that you need as far as horse racing and sports betting with the college football and the football picks. Follow us on Twitter. I am at Curtis Kellord. He is at Summerbomb 18, number one, number eight. Corporate overlords, including this guy right down here at racing_dudes. Make sure you tune in to Blinkers Off. They'll be live in just a little bit over an hour. Mike and I will be back on Monday to recap all the action and have some more fun with the Breeders' Cup talk. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by racingdudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.